All right, so let's talk about adverse effects, because there's a ton of adverse effects. First one is adrenal insufficiency. Now, what produces cortisol? Okay, the adrenal medulla. Now, what is it that tells the adrenal, the adrenal cortex. What is it that tells the adrenal cortex to produce cortisol in the first place? Think thyroid gland for a moment. What told the thyroid gland to do its thing? The pituitary. And what told the pituitary to do its thing? The hypothalamus. So, same thing here. We've got the hypothalamus telling the pituitary, telling the adrenal glands. Now, if you've got excess levels of cortisol around, what's the pituitary and hypothalamus going to stop doing? Stop telling the adrenal glands to produce things because you've already got too high a level. Now, as it turns out, your body does not store cortisol in the adrenal gland. The adrenal gland produces it as it needs it. So if it stopped producing cortisol, what happens when you suddenly take the drug away? You're going to have no production of cortisol. That's going to lead to a withdrawal syndrome. Doesn't mean the patient is addicted. It just means that if you take the drug away suddenly, they're going to have withdrawal symptoms. So what's the cure there? To take it away slowly. And what's the word for that? Taper. Next one is osteoporosis. Remember how we said that it can interfere with calcium absorption? It'll also interfere with protein synthesis. Now, bone is made up of protein packed with calcium. So if you're having protein synthesis problems and you're having calcium problems, guess what that can lead to? Bone problems, osteoporosis. Can lead to infection. Why infection? Because we're suppressing the immune system and the inflammatory system. Can cause glucose intolerance. Why is that? What did we say it did? What was the first effect on the on metabolism? Increases glucose levels. So we can actually give a person artificial diabetes by giving them too much steroids. Next one is something called myopathy, which means muscle disease. We can actually cause muscles to waste away. Fluid and electrolyte disturbances is the next one. Now, growth retardation. If we give these drugs to a small child, the child will not grow as quickly, so they will be what we call FSA. No, SFA. Small for age. Now, some research has shown that eventually they will get to the height they're supposed to, but it's going to take longer. So what might that mean for that child growing up? They're going to be shorter and they're going to get picked on. But ultimately, they will get to their normal height. Also can cause psychological disturbances. It can cause euphoria. What is euphoria? All right. How many of you have ever seen the movie Willow before? You know when he gets hit with the fairy dust? It's like, I feel good. That's euphoria. Eu means good, phoria feeling. So it's an abnormal state of, I just feel good. Woohoo, let's do that again. It can also cause psychosis. Also causes food to taste better. Patients who are on steroids will sometimes say, you know, I've never had food that tasted better than when I was on those steroids. And you're like, you just have a hamburger, and you're like, oh, this is the best hamburger I've ever had. So it makes you want to eat more. It also stimulates the appetite. Can also cause cataracts and glaucoma, so it can cause eye problems. Peptic ulcer disease. We'll talk about why it can cause peptic ulcer disease when we talk about NSAIDs. The two work exactly the same way. Iatrogenic Cushing's disease. Now, Cushing's disease is a problem where your body produces too much cortisol by itself. And so if we give artificial steroids, guess what we can cause? We can cause Cushing's disease. Now, if we cause it, we typically call it Cushing's syndrome. If a person's body causes it, then we usually call it Cushing's disease. They're the exact same process. It's just whether the person's body is producing it or whether we're giving it to them artificially. And then this last one is something called ischemic necrosis or avascular necrosis. And typically, in combination with this, what does this little symbol stand for? ETOH. So anything that has that on it in biochemistry is called an alcohol. And F-E-T stands for ethanol. So ETOH is ethanol, alcohol, the kind you drink. So in combination with alcohol, we're usually talking about chronic alcohol users here. Steroids can cause something called ischemic necrosis, where you actually begin to destroy the bone marrow because it suppresses proliferation of bone marrow. The only cure for it is a hip replacement or bone, you know, you have to get a joint replacement to replace that part of the dead bone. All right, so let's talk about Cushing's disease for a moment. The classic signs of Cushing's syndrome or Cushing's disease. First one is elevated glucose. Second one is fat redistribution. Remember we said it mobilizes fat deposits? So what it does is it moves them to different parts of the body. What does a person look like with Cushing's syndrome or Cushing's disease? I saw someone do this. So puff out your lips. Something we call moon face. So you get fatty deposits in the face. Gives this person an angelic appearance because they look like a little cherub and you just want to pinch their cheeks. What else does it give? Where else does the fat move to? Back of the neck, base of the neck. We call that the buffalo hump. Where's the other place? The abdomen, we call that central adiposity. So the three places fat moves to: face, base of the neck, abdomen. Now, at the same time, they're having protein wasting. So what is the major thing made of protein in your body? Maybe not the major thing, but a major thing. Use them every day. Some of them are using them even as we speak. Muscles. So if you're having protein wasting, one of the big reservoirs of protein in your body is muscle. So you begin to lose muscle. So a lot of times people who have Cushing's disease will be described as toothpicks in a lemon because they have these thin arms because they have no muscle left and they have got this big central adiposity. And then they got the moon face and buffalo hump. Now, what one thing can we tell our patients to do that will help to counter several of these problems? If we want to prevent muscle wasting, what can we tell them to do? Exercise. If we want to help prevent osteoporosis, what can we tell them to do? Exercise. If we want to help prevent fat redistribution, what can we tell them to do? Exercise. Now, eventually it will be a losing battle if they're on too high a dose or if they have Cushing's disease. But you can help delay and prevent some of these problems. All right, now let's talk about the actual drug names. Now, we have three different classifications. We have short-acting, intermediate-acting, and long-acting. Now, short-acting is called cortisone and hydrocortisone. Hydrocortisone is artificial cortisol. It acts on a strength basis, what we call 1:1. It is exactly the same strength as cortisol. A milligram of hydrocortisone works the same as a milligram of cortisol. Next, we have the intermediate range. These last about four to five times as long and act four to five times stronger than cortisol. So the two drugs you're going to need to know here are prednisone and methylprednisolone. These are the two that are most commonly going to give in the hospital. What's the most common over-the-counter steroid? Hydrocortisone. Then we have two long-acting ones, which are about 20 to 30 times stronger, depending on the concentration. Stronger than what? Stronger than cortisol. So we're always comparing everything to cortisol. And these are betamethasone and dexamethasone. Betamethasone is what you're going to use to treat those preterm infants with. Dexamethasone we'll use for nausea and for cancer. They have other uses, but these are just some of the major uses that we're going to use them for. All right. Any questions about those? All right. So I know what you're thinking. How come we didn't talk about NSAIDs? Go ahead, ask it. Because we're going to talk about those when we talk about pain. What is the definition of pain? Someone would like to, who would like to read that definition? An unpleasant sensory and emotional experience.